And we want to share this message out of Acts chapter 2, and we want to minister the word of God out of verse 37. This is the setting where Peter has now come out of that upper room with the other 120, and the Spirit of God has come down, rushing mighty wind from heaven, and he filled all of them, the Bible says, that were sitting in that upper room, and he filled them with the Holy Ghost, the power of God. They come out of that upper room experience and they are staggering around like drunken men. And they have to be told to that crowd that's mocking them and laughing at them, saying, these men are not drunk as you would suppose, but they have been filled with the Holy Ghost. And they had the gift of tongues. They spake as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And they were filled with the Spirit of God and the power of God. And that generation was mocking and laughing. And Peter begins to stand up and rebuke this generation that he lived in. He began to tell them how that you rejected the Christ, the Messiah, the one that came. You rejected him. You chose Barabbas over Jesus of Nazareth. He begins to tell them that there is no other hope but through this man, Jesus Christ. He went on to preach to them under such an anointing and an unction. This wasn't the same old Peter that rejected Christ and the cock crew before he rejected him three times. The Bible says that he rejected the Lord. He wept bitterly under a conviction and a godly sorrow. And Peter was a man that rejected the Lord. He was a man with a temper and he was cussing. This isn't the same Peter that's standing up now and preaching to his generation. There's been a conversion. There has been a transformation in the life of Peter. And now he is filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And he stands up and begins to rebuke his generation. And he begins to tell them in Acts 2 and 37, now when they heard the preaching of Peter, they were pricked in their heart. They came under great conviction in their hearts and said unto them, men and brethren, what shall we do? The people were asking the apostles, what are we to do? Then Peter said unto them, in verse 38 of Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many words, verse 40 in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, and with many words, other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. And I want to minister today to you on that thought. Where is this generation? We live in a time period, and we live in this generation, 2016. My, how time has gone by so quickly. Many of you would agree. America is not like it used to be. The world is not like it used to be. We live in a world that hates God. The large majority of our nation rejects God. Oh, yes, they worship him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. I know that there's upwards, some say, of 70, 80. Some others have said close to 90% of Americans claim to be evangelical Christians. Well, I don't know about those percentages and those polls, but I'll tell you this. A large majority of those that claim to be Christians worship the Lord with their lips, but their hearts are far from God. That is a bold statement to make about the generation that we live in. But you would have to tell by the way of their actions. We live in a nation that once feared God. We live in a nation that at one time had godly, righteous, God-fearing men in positions of authority. But now we live in an age and in a generation and a time period that is far from God. We have thrown God out of every aspect of our government, out of our court systems, out of our school systems. God help us. If we claim to be a Christian nation, We have come to the point now where we do not want God involved with anything in our lives or in our government. God, help us. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Peter began to rebuke his generation in Acts chapter 2, saying, you have rejected Christ. You have rejected the only begotten Son of God that came down to die for your sins. And that is the gospel message that has to be preached to our generation and every generation that has gone before us. That is a crystal clear gospel of not just coming to Jesus and believing. We have a gospel now that many are preaching behind the pulpits of America and around the world that simply just ask folks to believe. They never require repentance. They never require them and tell them the full counsel of God's word. My God, give us some men like Peter that will stand flat-footed under the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost like he did in Acts chapter 2. Stand up full of the Spirit of God with boldness and proclaim to his generation, repent, for Jesus is coming soon. Repent and turn from your sins. He went on to tell them, you need to save yourselves in verse 40 from this untoward, this crooked, this generation. Untoward means perverse. You would have to agree with me today, much of what's going on in our nation and around the world is perverse. What is this generation of Christians being saved from? I would ask you that question today. And if you're just tuning in, this is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here on the west side of Manchester. I want to challenge you today to understand we are living in, if not the most wicked generation that has ever been, my brothers and sisters. My friend, today we are living in a nation that is called good evil and evil good. When we will love animals more than the precious life of young children, when we will look to protect animals, and I'm an animal lover and I love animals, but folks have gone on this tirade of oh, why did you kill that gorilla and that little boy could have been so easily, quickly, in that Cincinnati Zoo, so easily and quickly killed by that 500-pound gorilla. But now we got people all over this nation saying, oh, you should have saved that gorilla. And listen, that little boy could have been picked up by that gorilla and thrown against one of those rock walls or slammed against a rock or just held under the water. Those of you that seen the clip of that, where is our generation to where we've lost the true meaning and love for life, especially a child's life? Now, I'm not going to get in a debate with anybody. I wish they could have saved that animal. I wish they could have somehow saved him, but it didn't happen. And they had to make a quick decision. But my brothers and sisters, we live in a time period where people do not love life the way they used to. Look at the millions of aborted babies in our nation. Look at the millions and millions of children that are being molested throughout our nation. I'll have to tell you, we have a lot of good God-fearing people in our nation. We have a lot of people that do love God and are doing good works and still are trying to stand for truth and righteousness in our nation. But can I tell you, we are the minority. And I'm going to tell you where I put the blame. And that is, the blame is not our presidents. It's not our congressmen. It's not our senators. The condition of our nation and the spiritual condition of the apathy, the lethargy that's moved into our nation, we don't fervently love God the way we used to. We don't stand for righteousness and truth the way we used to as a people in this nation. There are a lot of good people here, but I'm telling you what we need more than just good people is we need people to stand up for the truth. We need people to live and let their light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. What we need, brothers and sisters, more than anything, and I share such a deep burden in my heart, is to understand that the blame has to be upon the preachers, the pastors, the evangelists, the ministers of the gospel that are not preaching a crystal clear gospel of repentance no more. The condition of our nation is because we have preachers that are more interested in filling up their churches with people rather than having people that are filled up with God. I'll make that statement again, because we live in a period of time where people are more interested, and the pastors and the leadership and our big church organizations are more interested in bringing them in, and filling up a church and saying, we've got this many coming to our church, we've got thousands, and we're doing this and we're doing that. But how many of those people are leaving full of God? We live in a time period that are more interested in filling the church rather than seeing the people in the church being filled with the power and the presence of God. We live in a time period where we're missing it somewhere. And we need some men like Peter to stand up and rebuke this generation and say, hey, not all that say, Lord, Lord, are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but it's only them that do the will of God. For many shall come to me in that day and say, I have done many mighty works in your name. I've cast out devils. I've laid hands on the sick. But he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Some of the most awful words that a person could hear is the finality of the rebuke of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, depart from me. I never knew you. What I'm trying to proclaim to you today is that we need a revival in our nation. We need a revival of godly fear to come back to the hearts of the leadership, to the pastors, to the ministers, and to the people of God in our churches. But the problem that we have is that we are living in a time period where we don't feel our need for God. Things are going pretty good in our nation, as it would seem, even though many of us would say, oh, well, financially and, you know, things are just not going like they used to be. Can I tell you, I've visited quite a few countries around the world. And let me tell you, when you come back to the United States of America, we can quickly testify to you and let you know that God has still shed his grace upon the United States of America. There is no nation as blessed as the United States of America. Righteousness is what exalted our nation into the blessings and the most prominent, dominant power in history of mankind. No nation has rose up as quick as our nation to be so blessed. And it is because of God honoring, God-fearing men that has stood for the truth and has proclaimed the truth and has preached the word of God as it is written to their generation. You read about our great church history forefathers. They were men that started great revivals. The Wesleyan brothers, D.L. Moody, great men of God in church history. We read of them. We read and we hear about great revivals. What brought those revivals forth were men that would rebuke their generation and show them the error of their way. Peter rose up in that second chapter of the book of Acts and he rebuked his generation and he said, save yourself from this perverse generation that you live in. We live in a perverse generation. And I would like to ask the majority of our Christians, what have you been saved from? Many church preachers and pastors are just telling people, oh, just simply believe and you're on your way to heaven. That's not the gospel. The Bible tells us that we not only got to believe, but we've got to believe to the saving of our souls. It's not just a simple confession of I believe in you. There is obedience of repenting. John the Baptist preached to his generation, and his message was the same every week. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he came to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, but his message was the same. Repent, 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 save yourself from this wicked generation. What are we being saved from? We need to be saved from our sin. We need to be saved from our ungodly ways. We live in an ungodly nation that has turned away from God. I'm not saying that we don't have good, godly people here. I believe there is a remnant in the land of America that is scattered throughout this nation and around the world, and the Lord knows them that are His. And let everybody that names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. The true people of God are a people that have separated themselves and have come out from among the world, and they live a separated life unto the Lord, holy, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use. What am I telling you today, brothers and sisters? We need to save ourselves. We need to separate from this ungodly generation. And we need to be proclaiming the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're just tuning in, this is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor over here at the Abiding Light Pentecostal Church on the west side of Manchester. There's ever been a time that we needed the preachers, ministers, and the people of God of our generation to proclaim, save yourself from this perverse generation. We live in a perverted generation where they're calling things that are holy, unholy. Things that are righteous and upright, now they're calling it evil and wicked. The sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman is now unholy. And we give more honor and respect to two men being together rather than a man and a wife getting married in the eyes of God. What am I telling you? I'm not here to condemn anybody. I believe that homosexuals can be saved. I believe that lesbians can be saved. I believe, and I know many of them that have repented and turned from their sins. But now we have churches that just have their big old signs out there saying, all are welcome. Bring it all into the church. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. We need to save ourselves from this untoward generation. I believe God loves the homosexual. I believe God loves the lesbian. I believe He loves the sinner. I believe He loves the alcoholic. I believe He loves the prostitute. I believe that Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. But what has He done? He has saved us from our sin. He has saved us out of our sin so that we would not continue in sin, that grace would continue to have to abound. God forbid. Paul the Apostle made it clear we can't continue to live in sin and still claim to be saved and living for God. We need a crystal clear gospel to be preached to this generation that you need to save yourself. You've got to make the decision that, Lord, I need deliverance. I need to be set free. I'm in bondage to my sin. I'm in bondage to my iniquity. I'm doing perverse things. I'm doing wicked acts and deeds that are against you, God. Save me, O Lord, from my sin. And that's the whole purpose that Jesus Christ came down to this earth. The Bible says that the angel made the announcement, hallelujah, and he said, Jesus shall come, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin. We need to be saved from our sin. Yes, I believe the gospel, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, but we need to be believing, and then we need to continue on with Jesus Christ. I come to exhort you, my brothers and sisters, to understand that we are living in the last days, and many shall come in the name of Jesus and shall be preaching Jesus, but they shall deceive many. I still believe in the old time gospel of Jesus Christ, and what I'm telling you is that straight is that way that leads to life. And only a few will be there that find it. It is a straight way. It's a narrow way that leads to life. But the broad way that leads to destruction, the Word of God tells us that many are going into that broad way. For many shall call upon me. But brothers and sisters, not all that call upon the name of the Lord are going to enter in. But it's those that do the will of God. We need to save ourselves and repent in this generation. If you've